fall is a vibe. So, what's yours? Do you go wild? Or get a little nostalgic? Do you like to cozy up indoors? Or kick it outdoors? Whatever you fall for, get shoes that get you. We've got the trend. You bring the vibes. DSW, let us surprise you.
Again, to Barrel It Up, I'm Jay Jambrone. We're getting the chance to talk to Alan Van Ness for a second time. We got some great things to talk about. He's running a league with well over 100 teams in the Sacramento area, one of the largest leagues in the country. And so we're going to find out how he got to that point and how it's been doing that. You know, we've all, if you're a league president or if you're in a league, it's always good to hear what league presidents have to go through. Because as a player, you're going to complain about everything that they do and all the time and your manager and the league and all that stuff. And I think it's really important as a player to understand what they do and how they go about it and all that. Now, we took Alan through you got to listen to the first one. We took Alan through his time all the way up and through the Marines. And now we've got Alan working in industry. And one question I wanted to ask you to start that out is, have you flown helicopters or planes since then?
Well, I've flown in them. Yeah. No. I was an air crewman, so they call it crew chief in the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
And during the peacetime, a lot of pilots were smart enough knowing that you're always training for war. So there's many times that they'd say, hey, Sergeant, you want to fly? So I'd get up there and they'd teach me how to take off and how to, you know, and I knew the whole thing inside and out pretty well.
Yeah.
So there's no problem there. A little nerve-wracking landing. I certainly wouldn't want to land on the ship like those guys do. But if I had to take off and I had to land, I had it under control and I did plenty of practice. And when I had the 50 cals in the back with thousands and thousands of rounds for training, the pilots always wanted to shoot the 50 cal. So they let me go up there and fly the helicopter while they're back shooting the 50 cal. So that was fun. They're not even back in trouble these days, but I don't think they cared. Back in the 80s, we are more peacetime and a lot of training. A lot.
That's right. So you didn't get a pilot's license when you got out so that you could do some flying, huh?
No, but I did. I did go to school. You know, like I said, I was hired by Lockheed Martin at Ontario Airport for It was supposed to be C-130s, but they sent me to L-1011 school, structural upgrading. And then once I went back in the Marine Corps, I thought, you know what? I'm going to get my FAA license. So I ended up going to the school at Orange County Airport, John Wayne Airport over there. And I did a lot of night stuff over there. Played a lot of baseball and softball, studying all these big giant books forever while we're drinking our Coors Light and I'm studying. So anyway, I finally got my FAA license in Okinawa, Japan.
Wow.
And that's when I told you that the colonel told me that I was smart enough to get my FAA license and I should get out. So I got out, did 25 years of Aerojet, working on all different. I worked on the Titan rocket, the Delta rocket, some Milstar stuff that's up there for Mars. And then I got into missile defense and then I stuck there for like the last probably 13, 14 years.
Wow.
And I was the lead on missile defense. I actually invented one thing that they named after me and gave it a tool number.
Uh-huh.
I still remember it. T2002563. That was the number. I was so proud of it. It had my name on it and everything.
Cool.
And so it was built. It was something you needed to build the actual intercept missile.
Uh-huh.
And then it moved on and it went to Raytheon out in Tucson. And so they have their own called Van Ness Blocks. Pretty cool. Ain't getting no money for it, you know, because you sign your life away. When if you invent something, then you're going to have to, you know, that we get it. We keep it. And I just left it at that. Okay, whatever.
That's right. No residuals on that.
But that was a proud moment.
Yeah. And now you get back into baseball up there, right, with that job?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was playing in the league. I've been in the league for 31 years. This is just finished my 13th year as president of Sacramento. Before that, I was head commissioner. Before that, I was the 18th commissioner. And before that, it was, I think it started in 2008 or 9 during the recession.
Uh-huh.
And I think Lanny was president. And I said I wanted, well, actually, he talked my wife into getting me on the board. My wife, she to this day, she says, Lanny, you're the one who started all this.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's Lanny, a good talker. He could talk people into stuff. Yeah.
Yep. So, and I played with him and, you know, on the Giants in a few years. He's played with everybody because he's Lanny. You know, so yeah, I got in there as the, I just did advertisement. I go, well, there's no sponsors out here. How come? Oh, everybody talks about they're going to get sponsors. Well, I'm not everybody. So, I went out there. I got Sports Authority. I got Hooters. I got Aerojet. I got my own dentist. I sat in the dentist chair getting my teeth cleaned one day, and the dentist came in and gave me a check for $500 at a
bank. Wow.
My hygienist was laughing. She goes, how did you do that? So, yeah, I had a bunch of banners all on the field. And then Jim Tiger was president, and then – I was his head commissioner for that, so he really appreciated everything I was doing for Jim Tigrett, and he did it twice. We had a little intermission there, so he did it twice, and then they tried to talk me into being president, and I said, no, I think I need to be commissioner first and see what this is all about.
Yeah.
Well, I was pretty much a mechanic, technician, all this stuff, not a businessman. Now – I'm a businessman because I don't remember exactly how many teams there was in the league when I took it over. And I want to say upper 40s, you know, 47, 48. Last year, I signed 141 teams here in Sacramento.
Wow. Jeez.
And this year, I expect it to be the same. Now, they're not all 141 of just our league teams. Our league teams is probably 90, maybe, something like that. But I have the Big Father-Son tournament. And then the Labor Day tournament will bring another anywhere between 30 and 35, 40 teams each year. It grows a little bit, you know. And then my Golden League, I'm proud of that. I got 12 teams that are all over age 60.
Wow. Yeah.
So I got four leagues wrapped into one. I got the Winter Spring League, which is a 12 leagues that starts in February, and it just finished, I think, last 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
So that's just done. Then I got the Sunday Only League, and that's only Sundays, and that's a big one. Yeah. That's 18-game season. That goes all the way to the end of September. And then I have the Golden League I told you about. There's 12 teams there, 15-game season. And then starting in July, final fees are next week, and that's the Summer Night League. And that'll start in July, and that'll get over in October. And we all go to Phoenix. We take about 15 to 17 teams out of Sacramento to the World Series, all different age brackets.
Wow, that's fantastic. I mean, the most we ever sent out of Orange County was about 8. You know,
People are blown away. They're blown away. How did you make it so big? I don't know. I got good people around me, for one. It isn't just me. I get the right people around me. But, yeah, I mean, Rancho Cordova had their own league, you know. And then I said, hey, we don't need to have four leagues here in Sacramento. It's a small town. Let's just come over. I got my own complex coming. They're going to build me a $10 million complex over here at the Army Depot. So that's another story. We got our own home.
Yeah.
Could not be prouder of having our own home. So we were going to lose our McAuliffe complex with Sac State when Dr. Nelson wanted that property because Sac State was growing so big.
Yeah.
Hey, what's those baseball fields over there? How come we don't have housing over there? Well, the city. So I went downtown and I was with Jim Tiger and we had a letter, and it was from Joe Cerna, the mayor that has a statue out front of City Hall. And I said, what part of McAuliffe was donated that now is not donated that we, you know, you're taking it away from us and ESAC Babe Ruth Little League?
Yeah.
So they pull me aside and they say, Alan, if you just trust me, they're going to get you a nicer facility than what you have over there. The mayor didn't have the authority to just give you the property over there. Sure. That's why you had a 3-year or 5-year lease, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I took that. I said, okay. And I sat on it and I didn't push it. And then I met, what the hell was his name? anyway, the head guy over there, Jim something, over there at Sac State, he ended up being a Marine officer himself.
Oh.
And he's the head guy, Reinhardt. Yeah, Jim Reinhardt, I think it was. So we go over to Sac State, and he comes in, he goes, Alan, first of all, I want to, you know, congratulate you. And he read about some of what I've done in the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
And he knew what I did at Aerojet. And in 2015, I got Volunteer of the Year from Aerojet, from all the Aerojets around the country. There's 16, I think, places. And I happened to get 2015 MSBL Man of the Year.
Wow.
So to this day, that's probably one of my most honorable ones.
Yeah.
You know, other than what's coming up.
Yeah.
So that was a big one. I was one of the first ones to get that. And so he said, we are not going to screw you. I'm a Marine. You're a Marine. Trust me. From that point on, it was great. He offered me, I flanked myself with my treasurer, who was a U.S. ambassador. I can trust him. He's our treasurer. And I had two businessmen with me. One owns an electric company. One owns an oil gas station company, MVP Petroleum. So I'm a mechanic that don't know nothing about this business thing. I'm going to flank myself with people that can keep me out of trouble. So he offers me $5 million. And he says, we give you a date and we'll give you $5 million. If you can build the new complex on that property that the city's giving you, you can keep $2 million. You can keep $1 million, whatever is left there. And I'm no dummy. And I thought about it. And I talked to these guys. I go, I'll go to my board and I will get back to you. And I suggested to them, you know what? There's no infrastructure. There's no electrical. There's no water. They got a lot of work to do. I think it's going to be more than that. And so, because my two guys are supposed to protect me, which they do, but they're like, oh, we can build it. Really? You guys are 60 years old. It ain't like McAuliffe. It ain't like McAuliffe when you guys were 35 or 40 and you did it. No, I don't think so. And the generation we have out there right now, they don't work like you did.
That's right. That's so right.
I said, let's just make them do what they promised to do, and that's make us whole.
Yeah.
Make them give us the lights. Make them give us the grandstands. Make them give us the two Bermuda AAA fields. And we left it at that. Well, we have the groundbreaking ceremony. They build this beautiful 20-acre, two beautiful fields, nice grandstands, big maintenance shop. I'm sitting in a huge boardroom office that I have. And I was just going, well, I was up there with the banners and everything. And he says, you know, we offered him $5 million. And when he turned it down, you know, we thought it was crazy. He was a rocket scientist out of Aerojet, turned a businessman. So he tells everybody, you know how good a businessman he is? He brought you guys $5 million. This complex cost more than $10 million to get done, and we were stuck having to do what we promised to do. So that was a big one. So
yeah,
we're pretty stable now. We've been here for 6-7 years. So
who does all the work?
We do. Yeah, we do. We have our board members. I got a 12-member board, so I got different commissioners, and I have a maintenance guy that I hire him to keep the place clean and prep the fields. And then we're blessed to have Mike Egan, who was instrumental in building Fulton County Stadium.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he also did 9 years, and he built Pac Bell Park for the San Francisco Giants.
Wow.
So right now he helps me here a ton. And he goes he's in Montana helping one of the leagues there. Today he's up in Chico. They're helping him there. He's down at Long Beach at that Blair Field I was telling you earlier.
Yeah.
He's down rebuilding that one for those guys. I asked him this morning, I go, what do you got, a twin? Like, where are you going today? He goes, I got to go to Chico. I got to go look over this. They want to put a Pioneer League team up. Oh, my God. So,
oh, geez.
Yep.
That's right. The Pioneer League's trying to get themselves back together again, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, so Mike does a great job with getting the fields. You know, once they built us our fields, they just threw down the nice grass. It looked great, but we didn't have a very good sand base or nothing.
Oh.
So we had to dig out both. But Mike knew, and it was dying quick.
Yeah.
So we dug them all out. We hired the same company that put in the San Francisco 49ers football field.
Oh, wow.
And they came out here. It was really eerie. It was like a foggy day. December, I think it was, or January, really cold and misty and foggy. And he comes with all these big tractors and stuff and like, I don't know, 20 Mexicans. And they were ripping out and putting that Bermuda down like it was carpet.
Jeez. God.
So, anyway, that's kind of how we got it. And we've been maintaining it ourselves. You know, we got the Musco lights out here. This complex is home to 800 games per field all year.
Wow.
Because we're also home to Sac Babe Ruth. Next weekend, during the 4th of July, we have the Five Tool Kids Tournament. Will be out here with a big tournament right there. We just finished father-son tournament, which was, you know, a lot of games all day, or Friday night, Saturday and Sunday.
And do you charge like Babe Ruth and these other groups to use them, or?
Babe Ruth, we do, yeah. You know, the other Babe Ruth president, because the actual contract is a 10-year contract, and it lists Babe Ruth and SMSPL.
Uh-huh.
But the Babe Ruth president, we sat down and I said, look, we're not going to have two cooks in the kitchen. You know, I'll be in charge of this complex. I'll be in charge. You guys will get what you need done, and you pay us $20,000, and I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
So they pay the MSPL $20,000, and they're only here, March, April, May. They finish, like, tonight, as we're speaking, is the final championship, and then they're done for the year.
Oh, wow.
So they're all done, and it's just us.
Wow. So,
that's amazing what we have out here. It really is. It's just, it's hard to explain how many with these fields and these mounds are the best around. They're like professional mounds. The whole mounds are made of black stick gumbo clay.
Uh-huh.
Very hard, nice slope. Every year we put the fresh dirt down and we fertilize it. We sand it, you know, we aerate it, you know, we do all that stuff.
You haven't been tempted to put artificial mounds on them?
No, hell no. No, like I said, we get complimented. You know, I was doing a father-son tournament in Salt River, and I kind of knew this. We just got the complex, and I was talking to their groundskeeper. How do you keep these mounds like you do? They're so hard. And he gives me a empty bag of the gumbo black stick. He goes, you got a Ewing? I go, it's right across the street from the fields, like literally, man, 5 minutes away.
Yeah.
He goes, go to Ewing, sweep out your old stuff, keep replacing it, sweep it out, keep replacing it with the gumbo black stick, and your mounds will be like these. Well, they are. I just pitched on it yesterday, you know, through 7 innings yesterday, and they're perfect, you know. And I got the Bulldog professional home plates and the Bulldog professional pitching plates.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're expensive. But you don't replace them every year. These things will last you 5 to 10 years easy.
Yeah. Because the school that we used to, a friend of mine is a coach, was a freshman coach. Now he's the hitting coach at the varsity of a high school in Orange County. And we played on that field for like 25 years or something. They just replaced the whole plate area halfway up the bases and the mound with artificial. There so that they don't have to do any of those jobs anymore.
Yeah, the Lincoln Potters, that's an independent league out there in Lincoln, which is where I live in Lincoln, and they have artificial mound. We just don't like them, you know, just don't like them. Nobody likes them. And so I don't think I have any artificial anywhere. Like I got 11 parks. Every one of them I made a good relationship with all these other cities over the years, over so many years of working with them. And like, give me an example, Folsom gives me this shed. I bring a John Deere lawnmower over there. The city, they pay the outside to mow the outfield, mow the infield. It's never low enough to play hardball.
Yeah.
Always thick grass and the ball dies. And, you know, nope, they let me go over there. I'll be going tomorrow, every Friday. So I'll go Thursday or Friday, and I mow it down to 1 inch, and I make sure it's nice. And then they come out on Sunday. Oh, wow, what happened? Then I paid them $100 for the city workers last week. Because the father-son tournament was coming, and I brought out 150 pounds of Durapitch clay.
Uh-huh.
I got some other training that the guy from Ewing said, don't use the black stick on these city parks. Use the Durapitch because it mixes in, and it'll hold up just fine for those city parks. The black stick will just be gumbo, and it'll just rot. It won't work.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I did. Man, they complimented. They come out here. Well, what'd you do to Folsom? It had a big hole about a foot deep. Now it's all of a sudden a nice mound.
Well, the one thing that coach was telling me was a problem for the pitchers is they have to have two pairs of shoes. They have to have a pair for regular, you know, for regular mounds, and they have to have another pair for shoes for those. And I worry about, you know, when you play in the MSBL World Series and you go out to Mesa, and those fields out in Mesa are all completely synthetic, including the mounds. I haven't heard any complaints from the guys who pitch out there, but I don't know. It just worries me for somebody to have to make that adjustment and what might do to their arm. I don't know. I'm not a pitcher, so.
Yeah, I don't care for it, you know. And I don't wear the metal cleats anymore anyway. You know, at this age, you know, I'm 63. I'm going up almost 64. I don't really – the metal cleats. And I've been playing through this with – 8 major surgeries. I've had 4 knee surgeries, 2 knee replacements. I had the Tommy John surgery.
Oh, yeah.
Probably 13 years ago or more than that, maybe 15 years ago now. So before that, I had the other surgery with the elbow.
Yeah.
But I thought I'd never be able to pitch again, but doctor put me back together. I said, hey, how come it's not like these young guys? Why can't I throw hard? He goes, you'd be lucky to throw it all.
Yeah. One question I have for you is somebody who has a league that size is, one, you've got a treasurer, so that keeps track of that pretty much, because we're talking about a lot of dollars for a league that size.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot. It's probably close to, used to be a joke with Jim Tiger. He got upset one day at a board meeting. You guys think this is funny? This is a $250,000 business. And he was ranting and raving about $250,000 business. So now I tease him all these years later. Jim, I doubled it. He goes, I wish we had that much at the end.
Yeah.
You know, it costs a lot of money throughout the year to, you know, we got a lot of equipment. We got Mahindas. We got lawnmowers, 3 lawnmowers, and actually 4. This league is so successful from the support that I get. I can't stress enough.
Yeah.
You know, I get a lot of the credit for this stuff. You know, but here's an example. Just yesterday or this week, an umpire in the league, one of the main umpires, he came from Southern California. He's one of the best umpires out there. He's also a teacher. Well, the school district was getting rid of this beautiful red Toro Sidewinder lawnmower. He tried to get it donated for our league, but they weren't going to just donate it, right?
Yeah.
So he tells me, he goes, well, this is how it went yesterday. Because I had a game yesterday, so I couldn't go to this auction type thing. And this thing, I was a used one, is about $10,000, like $6,000 to $10,000. And he said it's in really good shape. A new one's like $30,000, like the other one we have, which we did pay for. Well, he starts off the bid, and he goes, okay, well, $5,000. And the guy looked at him and gave him a funny look and said, that's not what I was thinking. So, Dave, the umpire, Dave Tressel, he says, $5,500? And he smiles and he goes, now I was thinking the other direction. So he goes, $2,500. And the guy goes, sold. So I get this beautiful lawnmower. We're getting it picked up tomorrow by Mike Egan. And I wrote the check. I said, oh my God, yeah, we can afford that.
Yeah.
$2,500 for a... So now I got a beautiful backup big lawnmower because I have the $40,000 Toro Sidewinder that keeps our fields. Like I said,
yeah,
these are 2 big fields, Bob. And so now I got another one coming just to make sure, which gives me time to take the reels off and go get them sharpened and stuff like that.
Yeah, get all the work done on that stuff.
I got 2 Sampros. I got backup lawnmowers. I got backup just about everything I got here. I have a backup.
Fantastic. Now the other thing is scheduling. Who handles scheduling?
My scheduler, his name is Jason Morris. He's incredible. I mean, he schedules all these games for all these leagues.
Yeah.
And he knows who's on different teams and different ages, and he tries to juggle that. And of course, he always favors his own team because his team's always in the shaded dugout on field 2 every night. But who cares? You know?
Yeah, that's right. It's worth it.
Tournaments. He schedules the tournaments. He helps me organize with all these other 11 parks that I have. Well, 9 parks. Two of the fields are here at the Army Depot, and then I got 9 other parks.
Is there a specific program, internet program or something that he uses?
I'm sure he does. He has a whole spreadsheet thing that goes. And I mean, one thing that I love about our league compared to the NABA or any other one is you get your schedule when the season starts right there for the whole year. And the only reason it'll change is if we have like weather, you know, weather problem that will change for a makeup. And a few years back, we had all these fires out here. So Lord, that was a tough one trying to get smoked out. So we had to move some for the air quality thing. And then we had the COVID one. That was a, I'll probably go down in history as the one Marine that was not going to, I was adamant that I served this country so we can make our own choice. And in 2020, when they shut everything down and they put poles in all the diamonds, wouldn't let the kids play, wouldn't do anything. And so the park, or not the park, the city park and recs, whatever, or engineer that came out here, I asked him, I said, you know, how am I supposed to pay the light bill, the water bill, and all that if I don't have any business at all? So he talked to the city attorney, and they said, hey, Army Depot Park is not a public park. It's a private park. It's run by Van Ness. He makes the decisions out there whether they can play or not play. They told the police, the Rangers, everybody to stay away.
Oh, wow.
So I used to make jokes with the CHP that used to come here. He says, we're here to protect you. We think it's great. So we're playing full bore. And I got the Babe Ruth cup. We finally got going. We played all through 2020, finished the whole season. Then we went to Phoenix, and we had to put up with all that COVID stuff out there. And we picked up our playoffs back here all the way up to Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Beautiful weather. There's pop-up tents all around here. People barbecuing hot dogs and people coming here. Big crowds, right? And the CHP and the SAC sheriff would fly overhead and rock their wings and just got the big kick out of us playing ball. Nobody died. Nobody got crazy sick from, you know, from the COVID thing. And we got through it and we moved on. And it was just like history now. So now people look back and hell, how in the hell did you get away with that?
Yeah, it was funny at the World Series because there was all those rules about only the umpire could handle the baseballs and stuff. And I said, well, what happens when the shortstop's throwing to first? He's handling the baseball. I mean, you can't do that. You know?
Yeah. Our umpires out here, they didn't really go for that too much, you know. So but here I had Reno coming down here. I had the Bay Area, Vallejo, Oakland. They're all Fresno coming all the way up here.
Yeah.
So that's how I was able to lease out the fields and make all the bills.
Yeah, take care of those bills. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't putting them in my pocket, but it kept the complex, and a lot of leagues kind of died after that. You know, they just kind of went away and they never recovered like what they had. And I lost some teams like the first couple of years or so, but now I'm back full bore again. And
I
told you.
Now, the other question I was going to ask you is, I ask everybody that runs a league is, what's your biggest challenge? And I think I kind of know at least the current, you know, not current anymore because you've taken care of it, but one of the challenges that was very recent was the umpire situation.
Yeah, boy, is that something else. So let me, since you got me on video here, Here's one of them.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
See that? And there's the sleeve.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Lightweight. I got umpire hats. I got, that's the blue ones. And in the wintertime when it's kind of colder, they brought back here. I got the black one.
Oh, yeah.
Their logo type thing. MSBO.
Yeah.
Same thing, umpire. So what happened was I just finally had enough.
Because you had somebody for a long time, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had this one organization for 20-something years. And you know, to try to explain it, like on a podcast without bashing them, because my goal was I want amateur baseball to be self-sustaining.
Right.
I don't want to be threatened ever again that, well, you know, the men, they don't behave and they're getting to be a burden. And it's not so much only just the money or none, any of that. Okay. That's another whole subject on it. And it really wasn't that. It was just, okay, this is the second time I feel like, what am I going to do? You know, I'm not going to have any umpire support. So last October, November, I got trained online with a young entrepreneur from Minnesota. They had a hockey league. And one of my players that's a friend of mine, Eric Ferrari, he's a really good IT guy. And so I said, I need somebody like that. So I was telling him about it. And he looked into some other different ones. And we found this one out of Rochester, New York called Arbiter. I mean, I'm sorry, not Arbiter. That's the old one. It's called Assigner. So it's assigner.com. And Eric said, this one's better than the other one you were looking at, whatever the name I already forgot, that I got the training on. He goes, this one we can afford. It's very reliable. You can monitor all that. Okay. So I believed him. Then I put him on my board. You know what? You want to be a board member? I need to keep my grip on you.
Yeah.
So, and then Mike Egan is a really good umpire. He's been umpiring now for 5 years or so. He said, Mike, you want to be my assigner? You know, want to be my chief umpire and scheduler? And so he took it and ran with it. And so when they told me that, well, we only have 38 umpires for your 32 spots, and I used to argue about that. And I go, what do you mean 32 spots? And he said, well, you got 16 games. I go, you don't have fresh umpires every game. You got all these doubleheaders. You know, the guy in the plate does the field. The guy in the field does the plate. What are you talking about? You don't need that many. Well, you're going to find out. Okay, well, I didn't take no chances. I'm up to 85 umpires now. Wow. 85 umpires.
Wow.
And I've made it through the whole winter spring league with no problems. You had your occasional ejection like every game. And I have another umpire, AJ Spina. He's been involved with the other umpire. He's been umpire for 30 years, you know. Sometimes he can be a little bit hot hit himself, but he's a good umpire. So he volunteered to be my trainer. Ah. So every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, there was training here in the boardroom. 15, 20 ones were coming in there. And so I go, I got to figure out how to build this thing up. Where, so you know what I did? It costs a lot to play baseball. It costs a lot of money. You know, the Sunday League is $450 for 18-game season. Basically, I just got it where I made a flat rate. It's $25 a game.
Yeah.
So you figure out your schedule. That's what it's going to be. Not everybody has $450 laying around. So I said, I'll tell you what. Yes, I'm going to rip you off $100. So I'm just telling you up front. If you do 5 games, you're going to get paid by me or the league $550. Your league fee is $450. I'll just let you sign up now. And as long as you complete the 5 games somewhere in that 18-game season, and I don't even care if you do the Sunday league, the night league, the golden league, just do 5 games.
Yeah.
You got to pay umpire anyway. These kids, now all of a sudden, I'm getting a pretty good list of umpires that want to umpire, want to learn, and they're going to the training, and some have turned out excellent, and I'm just shocked that I'm all of a sudden I had to pay more money to add up to 90 umpires. As I had 60 paid for, now I got 90. So then I got a lot of Mexicans that are good friends of mine and teammates in this league, and they go back and forth to Mexico all the time. So I asked Rafa, can you give me some umpire shirts made down in Mexico? How much would that cost? Excuse me.
Yeah.
He went down there. I got from medium to large to extra large, double extra large, triple extra large. I got all these blue and all these black. And it was $20 a shirt.
Wow.
I charged the umpires $30 a shirt. So yeah. Get there. And they're embroidered and everything. They're beautiful.
Yeah. Jeez.
So yeah. I tell you, I'm just blessed. I'm just blessed.
You know, I hope a lot of organizations listen to this part of it because, you know, one of the things I hear over and over again, and even from people who are big assigners, you know, umpire associations, is they just can't get anybody to umpire. And, you know, it's getting worse and worse. And it's not only baseball, it's basketball, it's football. It's really bad in football, especially for youth leagues and stuff like that, trying to get anybody out there to do anything. So hopefully somebody can take something from that. And
Utah guy contacted me and they wanted to know how I did it. So I wrote it down like 5-step thing, exactly what I did and how to go do it. Get yourself trained online, what it's all about. And really it's just, you got to have you got the nerve to do it.
Yeah.
You got to just do it. And I talked to all the managers and I talked to me, look, you know, amateur. And I know some of the umpires hate it when I say this, But amateur baseball gets amateur umpires.
Yeah.
So I come out checking one game, and this big kid, young kid, probably 22 or 3, and he sees me walking to me. He goes, "Hey, Blue, how's it going?" I go, "Blue." And I have my Hall of Fame jacket on. And I go, "I'm not the Blue, I'm the president." So the other coach, he's laughing. He goes, "Oh, you met Alan." And then I go, "How's the umpire doing?" This is in the winter spring league early on. "Oh, man, he's terrible. He sucks." Like they always say, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and
yeah.
I said, "Well, he's over there working and getting paid and doing the best he can. You're over here sitting on the bench. Everybody else is playing on the field." I go, "You pay me $300. I go, "I'll tell you what. If you want a better umpire, be a better player."
Oh, there you go.
That's my answer. If you're an amateur player playing MSBL, you're going to get an amateur umpire.
Yeah.
So then, of course, the manager, he's a young Marine that just got out. He got a big kick out of it. So you want a better umpire, be a better player.
Have you ever been tossed as a player?
What's that?
Have you ever been tossed as a player?
I have long, long time ago. And I shouldn't have, though. I shouldn't have. I think, if I remember right, I was playing right field. And that umpire made this horrible call. And I said something like, "That's just bullshit," or you know, like that. And the next thing you know, I'm getting ejected. And I was probably – and that might have even been a NABA game because they didn't have Sunday MSBL here back then.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, speaking of the Sunday MSBL, that became – here in Sacramento, really, Steve Sigler, I was pretty new just on the board, and I was bringing my Sacramento Rockets to the 25th anniversary, and you know, we're up there now. And he says, "Oh, Jim Tigrid, Lanny Ropke, they have a lot of good things to say about you." And I just kind of met Steve, and I said, "Oh, thank you," you know, all this stuff. And, "Well, how come they don't have a Sunday league out there? I have teams that come in here all the time, said they would play Sunday, but you don't have it." I go, "Steve, I don't know. It's always been NABA on Sunday. I played in the NABA when I first moved to Sacramento. Yeah. They didn't have a Sunday." "Well, the guy said that they would if you made one." So I did. So I was a commissioner, and I was talking to JT and a bunch of us. So I went out to these other parks, and I started finding fields. I talked all the 40 and over teams that go in over here to MSBL to make our own Sunday league because we didn't like the way the NABA was working.
Yeah.
And then coincidentally, the Rancho Cordova League made their own 18 and over, and they had a big one. They had the bulk of all that.
Oh, wow.
And that's how we got big in these days, because Rancho Cordova, they took all their 18 and their 18 and overs, 30 and overs, and came over here.
Yeah.
And already had all the 40s. It's turned into now 50s. And so, you know, they're now is kind of like destiny. I mean, it's got nothing there. We're lucky if it has, it's kind of like, you know, the whole Woodland thing, 8 or 10 teams.
Oh, wow.
Nothing too much.
Now, before we leave today, we got one more thing we definitely have to talk about, and that's new. And that's that Alan has just found out that he's going to get a special award at the MSBL World Series this year, a Lifetime Achievement Award. And pretty special. How did you find out about that?
Yeah, I was saying earlier, Steve Sigler, you know, he's calling me about other individuals, and I was working on a story about Eric Ferrari and Mike Egan helping me with all that umpire stuff. And then out of the blue, I get this, you know, this nice email from Steve saying that, you know, this year you're going to be recognized and inducted into the receive the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
For my 3 decades of being involved with MSBL and, you know, and being a president for as long as I have, 13 years. And I had like goosebumps. I was like, "Well, no kidding." That was pretty good. I mean, I told you earlier the one that really sticks with me that meant a lot. Well, they all mean a lot. Oh, Sacramento, yeah. Sacramento Hall of Fame. That really meant a lot to being here, and that was a real special one for me. And then, of course, the National Hall of Fame in 23. But in 2015, when I got MSBL Man of the Year, that was big.
Yeah.
It just happened to be that that was a good year, I guess, because that same year is when I told you Aerojet, they gave me Volunteer of the Year. So I got this beautiful crystal trophy, thing from Aerojet for Volunteer of the Year. Yeah, because I didn't just do this here. I was teaching kids over at Cal Expo, where the state fair is, all about aerospace and rockets, and I was a good representation of Aerojet and what I built and stuff.
Yeah.
Sent them videos, showed them the missile intercept. It was really cool. And then I went to a career day at Toby Keith Middle School. Toby Keith or Toby Johnson. Yeah, not Toby Keith. Toby Johnson Middle School. And then they had CHPs and dentists and doctors, and I was the rocket dude.
Yeah.
And so the kids, they had to write a letter who their favorite speaker was. It was there. I had 40-something letters.
Oh, wow.
That came to my house. Yeah, my wife, she saved them all.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so to get that man of the year at that year, that really meant a lot. Now this, you know, it's so humbling, rewarding, whatever you want to say. You know, so this year going to Arizona, Steve said he wants to personally give it to me and address it. Because when I went into the National Hall of Fame, you know, that was special, but he was in the hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
So he couldn't come out and do anything. So Gary Stonebrook, you know, one of our legends out here, kind of like Lanny.
Yeah.
You know, he presented me with the going into the National Hall of Fame thing. So that was big too.
Cool.
So yeah, very, very honored. It'll be nice to have a lot of friends there and bring in my Sacramento Rockets, even though we're going to jump to the 16 over division this year. And I thought we'd start near the bottom and just see how it goes. Because
yeah,
a lot of my rock star players, they're still in their mid-50s and they're going to play 55 with another Sacramento team. So wish them luck. Move on and just bring the 60s and then enjoy it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I used to have a lot of guys that always wanted to play younger. They wanted to still believe that they could do that.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, our competition is Sacramento, San Jose, San Diego. They're all moving up, and we're down here. Come on, guys. Because those are the guys we know from playing against them for decades, and that's when it's more fun. And, you know, just trying to convince them to do all that stuff.
There are a lot of great players here in the 60 to 70-year-old range in Sacramento. It's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, seeing some of the balls hit like they are and double plays and pitching is very good. So, yeah, this is a great town right here. I love it.
That's a funny thing, too. I remember when I was just getting into 40 and over, and Steve asked me one time, he says, you know, you're done with your plan this week, but we've got 50 and over playoffs. 50 and over is new. First time, you know, we had some playoffs going and everything. Would you go over to Scottsdale Community College? We were still using it then. He says, we got 15 over playoffs going over there. Would you be the guy that brings the baseballs and keeps everybody in line and all that kind of stuff for that? And I go, wow, 50 and over. And now, of course, I'm 75 and I'm playing at least.
Yeah, I played at that Scottsdale one. I think it was on the 18 with Chuck Losiff. I was one of the old, that was the 18 Yankees, but I was like 37. Something. Uh-huh. I was one of the older guys, you know, thinking I could still do all that, which I could actually back then.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know now. I doubt it now. But, you know, you get, it's really cool when you do the father son tournament, you get to go back in time and you get to see all that. So, yeah, this Labor Day tournament, I'm proud of what I've created that, and I renamed it to the Capital City Labor Day. Like I told you earlier, I have all of our tournaments. I have done charity for, like I said earlier, you know, Ronald McDonald House, Make-A-Wish, Shriners, last year, Tunnel to Towers, last week, you know, Blue Star Moms.
Yeah.
And then this year for our Capital City one, I selected the Sacramento Children's Receiving Home.
Oh.
So I went over there, talk to them and say, you know, if I can just even get one kid adopted or taken out of that environment, we got 1,000 players in this league. I don't know everybody's personal life, if they can have a kid or if they want to raise a kid or a foster parent. I don't know. But I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah.
And me and my wife are working on the raffle and they'll be over here. And so that'll be this year's theme for the Labor Day one. And hopefully people contribute. So that's some of that stuff's probably why I get in a lifetime. You know, I told my aunt, who's kind of like my mom, you know, my second mom.
Yeah.
I said, I'm getting that. She was really thrilled. I'm getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. And I said, the next one's probably the Tombstone Award.
Yeah. What's your next one after that? National Hall of Fame. Is the only other one you don't have now.
No, I do have.
Why do you have the World Series Hall of Fame?
No.
Oh, you
no,
got the National one?
Got the National one.
Oh, okay.
He skipped right over the World Series one. And
well, then
the
they got to go back to that then. So you got them all. So, come on.
Yeah, he gave him the National one in 2023. You know, I haven't been fortunate to get a ton of rings for the World Series Hall of Fame, but I've been there. I've been there out of numerous times. And I did win one with the Sacramento Royals. So, and then I took my Rockets and we got to the championship game that, that was a close one. That was a heartbreaker, but you know, it is what it is, you know? So, but yeah, he skipped right over that one and went right to the National one.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I got a few rings. I don't have nearly as many as a lot of other people I know.
Oh, yeah.
Play with. It's just, yeah. And, you know.
But you know what? The friendships and the camaraderie and the memories that you make out there, that's more valuable than the rings.
You know? Yeah.
And when I was telling you earlier about amateur baseball gets amateur umpires, I was a guest speaker at the Tri-Valley Hall of Fame this year. And I mean, they were talking to me about this whole umpire thing and how I did it and, you know, things. And I said, how many people in here in this room all have World Series rings? And, almost everybody raises their hand, right? and including myself. And I said, the thing is, they're all amateur World Series rings.
Yeah.
I don't care if they're in the National Division, the Mountain Division, the Cactus, or whatever. It's an amateur World Series ring. You know, the friendships that you make and the memories that you're doing and all that, that should be more important than whether you got that ring or not.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we're taking the theme this year, to go to that Desert Division. Whether we win a jacket, win a ring, or buy our own ring, who cares? The guys want to just be with me when I get this Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
And they want to. So I'm really thrilled on that. And plus, we're getting old. Let's just go to the 60 division. And we're already almost 65.
Yeah, that happened last year. I was fortunate enough to I was going to be interviewing one of the guys that was going to get a Hall of Fame award. And he was having trouble with players. And I said, well, I'm old enough, you know, I'll come play with you and stuff like that. Because I'm going to interview you anyway after one of the games.
Uh-huh.
So I was lucky enough to be there when Steve came over and brought him his thing and all that kind of stuff. And it was really special for him. And it was fun to be part of that. And
I'll meet you this year. If you're out there this year, when I get my Lifetime Achievement, you'll be around somewhere.
Yeah, I'm gonna be trying, because what'll happen is, now that I've got all the lists, once the schedules come out, you know, because what I tell players is, you know, I've been there. This is 39 years for me this year.
You're like Randy.
And so I tell teams, I said, look, it doesn't cost you anything to have me on your team. I don't pay a fee.
Right.
Okay. So my attitude, and this was my attitude when I was managing, is that you guys are paying all this money. You're playing. If I get in there, you know, for some reason, like the guy that got that award, it was a 73 and over team. And I told him ahead of time, I said, if somebody gets hurt or they get tired, I'd be happy to go out there for them. But they're paying the money. Let them, let them play and all that kind of stuff. And all that. So that's the attitude that I try and take out there when I'm doing that. But anyway, I've got to do my house cleaning now. Unfortunately, I'm sure there's a lot more stuff we could talk about, but we got to do that now because of time. And so I want to thank everybody listening or watching. If you see one of the clips from this, or when we get on YouTube and you get a chance to see the whole thing, please subscribe to the channel. Please follow the channel. It helps us grow, like all channels like this. We have a rating system, 1 to 5. 5's the highest. I've only got 5 so far. But if you have to do something less than that, that's okay with me, as long as you feel that that's what you have to do. Please leave comments at barrelitup@yahoo.com. That's in the description of this show. And so you don't have to worry about writing that down right now. If you know somebody that should be a guest on here, please let me know who, why, and their contact information. If you want to see a complete list of all our guests, you go to jjambrone.com, page 5. That's also in the description. That's got a list of everybody that's been on. It's got a list of all the shows and when they aired and the ones that haven't aired yet, when they're going to air. And there's video clips now available on Facebook and Instagram. Please understand we're just learning how to do that. So it's not polished yet, but we're doing our best with that. And I want to thank everybody that helps put this show up together. Pod Populi, who does all the editing. They even edit my descriptions because they're better writers than I am. and they distribute this out, Spotify, Apple, wherever you could possibly get these. Also, please tell your friends out there that if they go to the MSBL website and go to the start page and go to the bottom of the start page, there is a link to Barreled Up there so that you can get all the shows. And I also want to thank Susan, my executive producer, Robin, my associate producer, and most of all, Alan, thank you. It's been so much fun. And hopefully I get to see you, and especially get to see you when you get your award. And
well, thank you, Jay. It was my honor to be on your show, and I'm very, very blessed. So thank you very much for having me.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.